Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, 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 welcome. You are with Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show here in Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno. We're here once again, and we are moving and grooving, and we're just, man, a lot of stuff is going on right now across the country, and I just decided right now just to go ahead and do a show. I mean, that's the type of technology we have right now. You know, we're like the big boys right now. We can just do a show anytime we want to, 24 hours a day. And so that's pretty much what we're doing right now. We're doing a show right now about the recent killing. Murder that went on, I believe it was in Memphis, and some say Memphis, Tennessee. So I'm just going to call it Memphis right now. And you know, I want to go ahead and play this little news break right here so everyone can kind of get the gist of what we're talking about. And then we're going to dive right in here. And we want to thank all of our freedom fighters right now. Our family that is over in Memphis right now. We want to give our condolences to the mother of this ridiculous, once again, shooting. And so it's kind of graphic, you know, so we're going to go ahead and play real quick, and then we're just going to jump right into the show.
Radio, though, we're going to start with a disturbing body camera of the deadly beating of Tyre Nichols in Memphis. It was just released in the last hour. Like many of you, the entire newsroom watched through that hour of footage. We're going to play a section now, but I want to warn you, what you're about to see is hard to watch.
I'm on the ground.
The video goes on to show officers eventually used a taser on Nichols. He then ran from the officers. The police department released four different videos. Another video shows the scene playing out from a street camera. From that perspective, you can see the officers punching him, kicking him. In some of the videos, you actually hear Nichols yell for his mother. Nichols' mom spoke about the incident earlier today where she expressed heartache.
No mother should go through what I'm going through right now. No mother. To lose their child to the violent way that I lost my child. Thank you.
All five of the former Memphis police officers posted bond and are out of jail. They are facing several charges, including second-degree murder and decades behind bars if convicted. There are protests going on across the country right now. This is video from Memphis, and you can see people are standing. They have signs with them. We are not hearing any chants just yet. We're not seeing any movement, but the city is bracing for these protests and has been for the last 24 hours. It's a similar scene across the country. We're going to continue to stay on top of this story and bring you updates throughout the newscast.
All right, there we have it.
So we're going to show you a little bit of this, but first I do want to say something first, and I think this is important. Number one, we're going to show you this video because you pay for the police. The police work for the public. They work for you. If you're in Memphis, they work for you. They're supposed to protect and serve you. Your tax dollars pay their salaries and their union benefits. And so they are public servants in the most basic sense of the word. And when they do something that seems to violate in every way the idea of protection and service, the public that pays them has a right to know what they're doing. We have a right to public disclosure about what they do. But I want to really emphasize, and I think this is very important, to understand that to watch this is not for the purposes of prurience, right? Americans watch a lot of violence. We watch a lot of violent TV shows, a lot of violent films, and we watch them and sometimes get numb to that violence. This is not violence you should become numb to. This is somebody's child. This is somebody, a mom and a dad's son. This is somebody's dad. This is somebody's friend and brother and cousin. And we're going to show you this video with the warning that it is violent, but it also is a depiction of the kind of police violence that normally happens outside your view. And the speed with which you're seeing this is unusual. It is not the way it normally goes down when police are involved in killing someone. And so it's all unusual. These are all black officers who, if they didn't have their uniforms on, could be this young man. All right, so that is the context that I want to give you before we show this video. You can see there in Memphis, people are bracing themselves for it as well. So I'm going to show you that, and then we're going to have some reaction from some folks throughout the show. So we'll go ahead and play that now. Okay, I guess what we're seeing now is Memphis police. So we're seeing their body cam footage. So they're driving along. I don't know what happens next. There's no video that kicks on normally until they get to the scene of a crime. Which...
conversation about what we just seen and heard. This is really I can't even process what I just heard. We have a caller. I believe that's our Brother Tony. Brother Tony, are you with us today?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Hey, thank you for calling in.
No problem. This is something that, unfortunately, Black communities nationwide have been going through this for decades. And what happened to Brother Nichols is something that must stop, these killing of young Black men. And after hearing this, it just makes you wonder why this young man was targeted. Now, he was returning home from a day out of taking photographs and skateboarding. Why was this young man even stopped? What did he do to get their attention? And then for them to attack him in this manner, as you heard these commands that they were shouting and screaming, you have five officers screaming at this man, giving him commands. He is trying to comply best he can to the point where he felt he had to flee for his life taken from him. And people want to make this insane idea about their skin color. That has nothing to do with what was done. He was Black, they were Black, but that has nothing to do with what was done, because they are wearing the blue uniform. They are the police, the people who are supposed to protect and serve and not take lives like that. But yet it happened. Plain and simple. There comes a point and a time where this madness must be brought to an end.
Well, you know, Brother Tony, I hear you, and I agree with what you're saying. We would like to welcome everyone to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. I know many of you are used to me coming on at 8 o'clock at night, but tonight I just couldn't swing it tonight, so I want to do an early show. So it's on Facebook. We're Facebook Live in it right now. I'd like to thank one of my colleagues, Aline Reed, who's on the live stream. Share the show with your friends and family. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what took place. I know Brother Tony also has a Blog Talk radio show. We thank him for coming on the air. I believe that his shows is on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 o'clock. And I know he's going to be talking about a little bit of this as well. Many of you know that I am a civil rights leader here in Mississippi, Fresno, as well as the Mississippi San Joaquin Valley, as well as the state of California, as well as across the country. I've been dealing with police issues, advocating, mediating between community and law enforcement for over 40-something years. What I've seen, the behavior that I've seen is not new. What is new is my first time ever seeing five Black police officers. Well, I guess we could say they murdered the young man because he died. Yeah, he did die. I think it was 3 days after he was in the hospital. But we cannot, I don't believe some people, I believe the media is trying to turn this into some type of Black on Black type conversation, et cetera. This is the culture of this country when it comes to law enforcement. You know, Brother Tony, if you or I, or if someone caught us on camera, for lack of better words, beating a dog like they beat this young man, we would be brought up on charges. We'll be brought up on animal endangerment and all kind of other stuff that they would bring charges upon. And what's killing, I heard you say earlier, Brother Tony, that the police officers are supposed to be here to protect and serve. And so I'm trying to figure out what does that really mean, protect and serve who? And to what interests are you protecting and serving? Number two, I would argue that we're taxpayers. We pay taxes. I go to work every day. You go to work every day. All our colleagues go to work every day. And we pay into a system called law enforcement, number one, that we didn't even create. We didn't even create law enforcement in America. America law enforcement was created through slavery that was called slave patrol. So I'm trying to give some structure on this conversation before we peel this onion one layer at a time. The slave patrol came from slavery. There was a badge. I didn't have time to put the badge on the screen. But there is a badge like a star that has slave patrol in it that went out and caught runaway slaves, right? And so throughout time, as I was telling someone this morning or yesterday, that if we was to take Black Wall Street in 1921, Black people didn't have Black police departments in 1921. I don't even know if we ever had a Black police department like white folks had police departments when they were across the track and police our community that was all Black in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then they would cross the track and go back home, right? So you move from 1921 all the way up to the 1960s where we had Bull Corner, who was a racist. I believe he was a chief of police, I believe.
Yes,
I believe he was in Alabama. Was he in Alabama?
Yeah.
I think he was in Alabama.
Yeah.
And Bull Corner was the one that told the fire department to take the water hose, if I'm correct, to shoot, to spray Black folk, to spray our seniors, our women, our children, the Freedom Riders that came in to help Dr. King in different situations during that time. And there's pictures, there's footage showing how Bull Corner told the government, told the fire department to shoot our people down. I'm talking about Black people right now. I'm talking about Black people. I'll make it clear, I'm talking about Black people. All right. And then from there, we had to deal with J. Edgar Hoover, who was what was J. Edgar Hoover title? He was
the director of the FBI.
Yeah, brother.
Okay,
Hoover.
Now let me bag something up for you there, Pastor. All right.
Go ahead.
All right, now during the time of the destruction of Black Wall Street, what you had with police departments across the nation were some of them had Black officers, and this is who patrolled the Black communities.
Okay.
They would bring in Black folks that they quote unquote trusted to be police officers of the Black community. Now, they had no real power, but even back then, they felt like, okay, we'll put a uniform on them and we'll stick a Black face in that community because they'll be able to move around a little bit better than a white face in a uniform.
Right.
This is how that was done. Now, what they did was they could arrest somebody, but they had to come back and report stuff to them, and then the white folks went in and did what they did. That's the way it has been for the longest, even in the early 60s. In cities like Los Angeles and Chicago, they had Black officers.
Right.
But their powers were certain. They still had to come back and report.
Okay.
But you are right that Bull Connor had the fire department in Birmingham shooting black folks with water hoses during their protests.
Right.
They also saddled up on horseback and ran those marchers over.
Right.
And
the canine dog.
To be both things happening.
Right. And it took the canine dogs as well to bite the flesh.
Exactly.
Of
they did that also.
And this was under the direction of the police chiefs and the administrations of the city halls and those that was in power. Now, let's bring it up till today where the same government that had Dr. King, who everybody celebrate because of his birthday this past week, or month rather, that they called him a troublemaker. And J. Edgar Hoover tapped King Fong. We're talking about the same government, same police departments, right? And then destroyed the Black Panther Party, right? Then we're going to move it up through the 70s to Rodney King, right? Someone that was filming, right? And Rodney King was in L.A., I believe, Los Angeles, and they beat the hell out of Rodney King with those batons. And someone caught it on candy camera. And so that was a diverse group of police officers that beat Rodney King like that. And not to talk about Oscar Grant and all of the other young men and men, George Floyd, all of them who's been tortured and murdered by this government. And then we're going to bring it all the way up to our recent situation right now. It's a culture, Brother Tony, that's in this law enforcement. It's a cancer. I don't understand how we pay for service like this. I don't understand how we're supposed to feel protected and served. I don't understand how we have children. And what I've seen on this footage here, so we have another caller in. Let me see. Who is this? 5172, 5172. Welcome to Dr. Harris. Black Lives Matter. So we're talking about the Nicholas killing murder of the rogue cops in Tennessee. Are you there with us?
Yes, I am. And I wanted to add to what everything that you and Brother Tony was saying, that, you know, when black officers started getting on these police forces, I really believe that a lot of them thought that they were going to go in and make things better for people in their neighborhoods. They thought that they could go in and change police culture for the better as it related to black folks. Unfortunately, that did not happen as often as we would like. A lot of these officers have apparently got in and have become immersed in this police culture that overtakes them, and they're not looking at protecting their their neighborhood as best that they could. And really, when you think about it historically, the police were there, those patrollers that you were talking about, Reverend Harris, were there to protect property. They were not, those slaves were considered property, and they were trying to protect that. But in modern day culture, the police culture really overtakes these black men and black women in many cases, and they cannot seem to change that culture from within, which is what some of them would like to have done.
Wow. You know, I'm just showing some of the pictures here of Brother Nicholas, the one who was just murdered by the Memphis Police Department. There looked like he was a skateboarder, it looked like.
Right.
And now he's laying up in the hospital with tubes all up. So here's the five police rogue officers who I'm not even going to call them officers. I'm giving them too much credit. We're just going to call them rogue, low-life thugs. That's just what they are. And they murdered our brother. And I would think, right, if I just got pulled over because I had a taillight out or something the other day or last week, and it was a sheriff department. And I knew they were going to, you know, eventually, I seen how they turned around real fast and, you know, speeded up, you know, and then they run in a license plate, you know. And I said, well, let me get into a lidded area, you know. I know your right stuff. And so they on the west side, I just left my church, you know, put the security alarm on, and I guess I had a taillight out. All right, so they want to let me know I got a taillight out. All right, it's 9 o'clock at night, so you want to tell me I got a taillight out. Okay, all right. So you pull me over. I pull into the gas station, and you throw your light on me. Before I pull into the gas station, you walk up to my car both sides, and, you know, one guy got his hand on his gun, the passenger side, another guy comes up to my door, you know, hey, first question, he said, hey, you got a tail light out. I said, oh, really? I said, I called myself fixing it. Yeah, well, it's out. And, you know, do you have any guns in the car? These are the first questions I get, right? Now, I'm in my own community, right? And I said, no, I have no guns. Now, I'm live streaming, right? I mean, I know the game. And he said, well, you have any warrants for your arrest? Any warrants on you? And I'm like, no, I have no warrants. I mean, I just left my church cutting on my alarm. Oh, okay. Well, you got a driver license? Yeah, I got a driver. Can I see him? Yeah. So he goes back to his car, right? And then he comes back and he says, okay, well, just make sure you get that light fixed. Didn't ask for my insurance. Didn't ask for my registration, which all that shows up on the dashboard anyway. And I'm pretty sure that my name was marked on the screen in their car anyway. Like, you know, this brother here is probably one of the dudes I don't want to mess with. So he gives me my driver license, and they just pull off. And I'm like, wow. So what was really your intent of pulling me over in the first place? Was it to find out, did I have a gun? Was it to find out, did I look like a drug dealer? Was it to look, I mean, what was you really looking for to pull me over, to just let me go and say, well, hey, you know, let's get the light. So I just really have problems with how this policing, and I think our black brothers that have gotten into law enforcement has gotten, what's the right word? What's the word? I'm trying to use nice words today, y'all. they have gotten into something that they have learned from bad folk, you know, bad police officers. Because Brother Tony, let me ask you this, Brother Tony. This is a question for you. So when I'm listening to these police officers, when they had this young man on the ground, right, I'm hearing black police officers call him a bitch. Now, I was listening very closely. They call this young man a bitch. Now, if you look in a dictionary, Webster dictionary, I believe one would say a bitch is a four-legged dog or something. Get your ass on the ground. And I'm like, what is with all this terminology now, right? This young man is innocent. If you thought he did a crime, he's innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. You have no right to be the judge, jury on anything. Then I'm trying to figure out, why are you pulling your taser out? I mean, you know, and then I'm seeing footage where they're kicking this young man in the face. And they're using a baton, hitting him in the face. And I'm like, well, what is that for? And so this culture of policing in America, it still reminds me of slavery. The process still reminds me of slavery. I'm not saying all police officers are bad. I'm not saying that. I believe that some of them wake up in the morning, want to do the right thing. But it's the culture in the police departments across the country. It's us against them. And that's how it is. That's how I see it. Brother Tony, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, let me be real honest with you. right here in Fresno. You know, I heard you make a statement earlier about you felt like this was something new with black officers. That's not new. Over the decades, there have been black officers who have Chicago, L.A., Oakland, San Francisco, Dallas, Texas. There have been black officers who have gone into their own communities right here in Fresno to wreak havoc because they felt like that was the way that they could make points with their white fellow officers and move up in the ranks. Now, on the other side of the coin, you also have some brothers who, like Sister Reed said, who tried to go in there and make a difference. And we've had our own right here in Fresno, and I've known a few.
Bob Mitchell.
Excuse me?
Bob Mitchell was one of the better ones that
I knew about. Brother Mitchell, Brother Bud Kelly, who was on the Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Joaquin J., who worked his way up to detective and worked with our community trying to help our brothers and sisters. In fact, he was undercover one time and almost got taken out by his own people.
Hello. It's happened.
Okay. So it happens. But to answer your question, Rev, again, you have those ones that get in there and feel like in order for me to make it, I have to give in to what they are also doing. So it's not a new phenomena. It happens. That's the sad part of the whole thing. Like you say, not all of them are bad, but unfortunately enough of them are bad to make you feel like, hey, no matter what goes on, that's what's going to happen.
So we have our says as a comment that it was a personal attack using the power of the uniform as a quote. What is it about that uniform? This may be a dumb question for everybody. When you put on that uniform, does it make you feel that you're better, or does it give you a sense of power, or does it make you authority figure? I mean, what does that uniform and that badge and that gun do? Because it's like people are transforming into like monsters. I mean,
can I weigh in on that? I'm sorry, I didn't get a new uniform.
Go ahead, Sister Reed.
No, I was just going to ask all of the people who are listening, and both Brother Tony and Reverend Harris, to think about that scene from Boys in the Hood where Trey gets stopped by the black officer, he and his friend, and the officer is intimidating both of the young men. I think part of the problem with police work is that a lot of people who have this kind of brutality in their personality goes for those kind of positions, you know, whether they were ex-military or something like that. They get into police work thinking that rage and anger and hatred that they have will be put to better use after they put that uniform on. And I'm talking about people regardless of color, but we see white officers really playing this out more so than anybody else. That's just my opinion, that these people come with these rage issues before they even put the uniform on, and then the uniform gives them license to use it. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Pastor was saying, well, do they put these uniforms on to transform? No. You have to remember, the culture is already there. That thing about the thin blue line, us against them,
mm-hmm.
and that is the mindset that starts to come along. And you will notice nowadays in law enforcement, you are finding out that more and more white officers belong to or have belonged to some type of hate group,
some type
of militia. And now they bring that along with their dislike for, a better word, people of color into that police department. I don't care if it's out west, up north, down south, back east.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on the East Coast, you have police departments where they are mostly controlled by people who are in these extremist groups.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Well, you know, one of the things, Brother Tony, when we had that situation in Washington when they broke into the Capitol, we had a police officer, maybe one or two, that was part of the Proud Boys. They actually went to that event or whatever they did in Washington. And
you had
in Fresno, one of our police officers was there in Washington when they broke into the Capitol.
You had several.
So here's a question I got for our listening audience. And we just want to thank everybody for tuning in. I apologize that I couldn't do the show tonight at 8 o'clock, but I just want to make sure I do it right now. Brother Tony has a blog talk show. He's going to be running his on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's with us right now. You can call in to 516-453-9086, 516-453-9086. You're here with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show. I lost my thought. I was going to say, I was talking about
in the Washington Rebellion, the January 6th Rebellion.
Yeah, we had police officers that was on our police force here in Fresno that traveled to Washington. Okay, I know what I was going to say. Thank you, Alain. Okay, so what does it really mean to be sworn in? I think that's a good question. Mm-hmm. What does it mean when you go through kangaroo police academy or whatever? You know, they don't bring people like me in. They don't bring people like Aline in. They don't bring people like Brother Tony in to talk to these new officers. The new officers get trained by a lot of the road cops. That's why this keeps going on. But what does it really mean to be sworn in as a police officer in any city across the nation, because it's being sworn in is what we've seen this past couple of days with Nicholas? Is that what being a police officer, being sworn in?
You know what it is. You know what it is,
Pastor. You have to say certain things, you know, whatever lies they give you to say, right? And you raise your right hand and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be a public servant. I'm going to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know, I'm going to wear my blue uniform. I'm going to protect and serve. I'm going to serve the taxpayers. And this is what the hell we get seeing our mother crying her eyes out, as well as the dozens of black people that have been murdered, black and brown, been murdered across this country. Go ahead, Brother Tony. What were you going to say?
Well, what you get is indoctrination. And as you notice on the right side of that aisle politically, in states like Texas, Florida, Arkansas, Alabama, they scream indoctrination. CRT, that's indoctrination. That's trying to make them hate white people. But yet they take the police force, militarize it, and turn it loose, on communities of color. Go attack them. Why do you think you got pulled over? It wasn't about a tail light. You
driving
look right. Driving while black. You didn't look right. Okay, the first thing he asked you was, you got any weapons? You got any warrants? He ain't asked you for your license and your proof of insurance. Mm-hmm.
He did.
I stopped because he got the taillight out. You know, that reminds me of a situation I had in Texas. Coming home back to San Marcos from Houston, Texas. I'm halfway home. I'm about 35 minutes out. I'm on a stretch of the 180 heading into my city. All of a sudden, lights come on behind me. Poof. I pull over. First thing out of his mouth is, I guess you want to know why I stopped. Well, that would be nice. Well, the light over your tail light is out. That was his excuse. I say, so the light over my license plate is out. Yeah. Now, not a tail light, not a brake light, but the light over my license plate. Well, yeah, here in the state of Texas, you know, we need to see the license plate. Oh, okay. Now,
well,
he still has a license plate.
Well, Brother Tony, I'm assuming you got pulled over at night.
It was just about dusk. And the killing part is, he had already pulled up and passed me and looked dead at me and then made a U-turn and came back. See, these are the games that they play. These are the games that they play.
Right.
Now, once he looked at my driver's license, saw my insurance, and like you said, he's running your information. At that time, I was working with probation. I'm quite sure that came up.
Right.
Then all of a sudden it was like, well, yeah, I'm not going to write you. I write you a ticket or anything, and I, you know, just make sure you get that light bulb over your tail, over your license plate taken care of. Yeah, no problem, partner. And I wasn't alone. I had my wife and my mother-in-law with me. And she looked at me and said, you know what that was about? Of course I know what it was about. Black while driving. See, that goes on nationwide.
Right.
And any excuse they can find to attack someone in the car, Sister Sandra Bland, there's no reason why that sister should have been murdered.
That's right. Right there in
but
Texas.
She was a black woman. She was a black woman in Texas, and then she didn't allow them to mistreat her. And the officer decided to make an example of her, plain and simple.
Well, right. you know, one of the interesting things when I was reading the different reports and doing my own investigation, the name that they gave this police group was called, I believe it was called Scorpions.
The Scorpion
Unit, like
yes.
Now, so names have meanings, right? And I'm trying to figure out, what is a scorpion?
Come on, man. We all know that scorpions are creatures that go out there in the desert, they hunt, they sting, they kill.
That's right.
That's what a scorpion does.
Right.
It's supposed to be intimidating. The name's supposed to be intimidating.
Right. So would it be fair, because we have I'm just reading some stuff on the Facebook Live here. Police are gang thugs. They expect that it gives them respect and power. Let's see, with a gang mentality, I think they have been doing this for a while, but this is the first time, the first murder. More than one or two New York PD had more than four involvements. It's an issue. So, yeah, thank you for that comment. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you all heard it or seen it, but the faith-based, churches, ministers, whoever, they invited Mayor Dyer to come and sit in on this conversation about the Memphis Police Department, the faith-based preachers of Fresno, California. I've been on the trenches for 40 years, as well as all of us, and I've never seen any preachers on the front lines even talking about police issues or police this and that. And then the person who's responsible for a lot of the bad policies here in the city is our mayor, who's a former police chief. And so they have no right to talk about another police department with all the blood that's on their hands of here in Mississippi, Fresno. And so I think that we're at a boiling point right now where I told someone the other day, I said, you know, it's sad when your kids get up, you feed them breakfast, you give them a hug, you don't even know if they're going to come back that evening after school. You don't even know as a parent. And that's the most scariest feeling, to know you don't know if your kid is going to come back to home that evening. Or you might just get that phone call to say, hey, or the police might be at the door and say, hey, you know, this and that that happened to your son. He's not coming back home. So I think that the kind of triggered back to the 1960s. The Black Panther had the model of us policing our own community. But, you know, when they got all assassinated and murdered and killed off political prisoners, you know, that went out the window. So now this is what we have to deal with today when it comes to community policing. Was the young man wrong for getting up running? I mean, from what I could see, he was trying to comply. He was called every name in the book, bitches, and they asked all this type of conversation. These are the people that are supposed to protect and serve us, calling us names and this and that. I didn't even see him trying to fight or anything.
It seemed to me that the young man was talking to these men in a very calm, accommodating voice, trying to comply. It was as though he was trying to reach out to them on a whole nother level, and say, look at me, you know, I'm looking at you, and you look like me. Can you hear? I'm trying to do what you're asking me to do. And when I think he only ran because he saw that they were not on the same level with him. They were the other. They were the enemy trying to hurt him. I think that's why he ran. But before that, he was trying to communicate with them on a whole different level, and they were just not having it.
Right. It looked like, I mean, go ahead, Brother Tony.
Yeah, because they had already determined that, like you said before, Pastor, once they put that uniform on and it goes back to that thin blue line, this is what I am. I'm not black. I'm blue. The thin blue line will protect me no matter what I do. Now, remember, up until this point, police officers have gone into communities. Let me just be honest. White police officers have gone into communities of color, beat, maimed, murdered folks, and never been found guilty. But see, everybody wants to say this is different, and this is some kind of phenomenon because these officers were black. But I can guarantee you the people behind the scene pulling the strings were white upper management.
Well, there were.
Like I said, they sent them into the black community because why? They look like the people of the community.
Let me jump in here real quick. I have about 10 more minutes before I have to get out of here, but we want to thank everyone. We have a caller on line 9535. I'll put you in a few seconds. Call in to 516-453-9086 to Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter. We're talking about Brother Nicholas' death. Here's another interesting part that I don't understand. And this seems like this goes for all government agencies. Now, it seems to me that these men went to college or academy or whatever to get their badge and their gun or whatever career they got, and they could do a murder like this. The young man had no gun on him, had no knife on him, Nothing like that. So it really wasn't a threat with five police officers, with five guns and five tasers. I mean, if you to add all those bullets up and tasers up, that's quite a bit for one little skinny, you know, brother. And he dies, right? And I can stand to be corrected, please, if I'm wrong. And he dies, and then the police department, from what I'm told and read, that they fired these police officers, right? I believe they unemployed from the police department in Memphis, I believe. And then I'm reading that they are going to be charged with second degree murder. So I'm trying to figure out, then what is first degree murder? We got first degree murder, second degree murder. Is there a third degree, fourth degree, fifth degree murder? What? So, but when someone in our community, right, kills someone or whatever, it's first degree murder. This incident was caught on camera. I don't know who camera. The body footage of them beating this young man was on their body cams, right? But now, since, you know, the brother's dead, you know, community's upset, supposedly the Memphis Police Department fired them, now they're going to be brought up on second-degree murder. So what is first-degree murder? And what is
premeditation? You have to they would have had planned it, premeditated. Now, we can debate that, but that's the definition of first degree.
So first degree murder is you sat down and planned it out. And then second degree murder is that you what? You didn't really mean to do it, or it just happened?
Yeah, pretty much. And manslaughter is different than that. Manslaughter is different than that.
It's unbelievable because, Lord forbid, any of us run a stop sign and hit another car, it's going to be second degree murder. I didn't mean to do it. You know, a fly was in my eye. I didn't see the stop sign. I hit the other car. The other family's dead. The minimum you're going to get is second degree murder. I guess that's the way I'm understanding it right now, right? But we can pay.
It all depends on how they look at it.
We can pay police officers tax money to be trained, retrained, give them their little toys, give them their little toy guns, you know, helicopters, all of. They should be held at a higher standard.
That's true.
But they kill us and they get second degree murder. Just like a person running a stop sign, killing someone, the minimum you're going to get, I'm sorry. Yeah, you may be sorry, but we got to give you something. Second degree murder. But a police officer who went to the academy, retrained, worked for the police department, we're paying taxes for this, blah, 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 blah. Second degree murder. I don't understand this whole country. It doesn't make sense to me at all. They should be brought up on murder charges because they knew better. They crossed the line. They none of them dared. Wait a minute, brother. Wait, hold on. None of them did that. They were like pet bulls on a little chihuahua. That's what they were like. Pet bulls and a Rottweiler on a little chihuahua just beating the hell out of this young man. And we're supposed to accept it. In the 21st century, we're supposed to accept that. Let me let this call in, Brother Tony. We'll give you and Sister Downey the last word, and I got to get up out of here. 9535, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Please speak real quick.
Good afternoon. This is Empress Poetry calling you from New York.
Hey, there she is. In the house.
Hey. So I want to throw something real quick at you guys, right? Let's take the uniforms on and look at the skin. Because the police brutality thing is it's a staple part of America.
Mm-hmm.
So is this self-hate that we have for each other. Like, that video is a video of five black men beating their brother to death. And we can discuss police brutality every day, all day. They're not doing anything about that, but they definitely need to, something needs to be done about the way we police our community.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to be done. There is, I mean, okay, that was cops, and they definitely use their uniforms and the power, demanding power and respect. There's so many holes in this story that I've literally shot down already. For instance, they weren't traffic cops. So what was the purpose of doing a traffic stop? Why were you, why? And the Scorpion team wasn't operating where this young man was living. That's not where they were assigned. So why were they in that neighborhood? That was a personal attack, and they used their uniform. There's too many questions in that. I haven't watched the video. I refuse to watch that video. But the bottom line is, from everything that I've read, my question is, one, why were they there? Yeah. And where? And there were two locations. So they encountered him one place, and then they followed him and encountered him some closer to home. Why?
Well, you know, it has been said that
he was having a relationship with one of their ex-wives.
Yes.
I heard that rumor too.
Yeah, Brother Nichols was involved in a relationship with someone's ex-wife or ex-girlfriend, and they used their uniforms, their badges, to cover up authority,
a personal
to attack him for that.
That's reason too many brothers.
So yeah, I understand
so
what you're saying.
My question again is more, my concerns again is more about why we hate each other so much. Something in them should have stopped them from killing their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
Something in them should have, but it didn't. There's a self-hate amongst us. We want to talk about police brutality. We need to talk about, and I don't do the black-on-black crime, it's self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we hate ourselves and each other this much?
We've been taught
because
to.
Because that's the police, but we have youth that are doing that to each other.
Yes.
But again,
men
that
are beating
that.
Women in their homes that they're supposed to be loving. We have men that are beating women down the same way they did this brother.
Well,
so it's a much larger issue we need to address. We're never going to win that police brutality argument. So when Reverend Harris brought up the Black Panthers just now and us policing ourselves, we need to get back to that. We need to get back to that discipline. We have to start in the house. They took our welfare system and turned it into a control button for us, right? We need to take that back. What Reverend Harris and them are doing with the school and the church, feeding the community, it's reignited. We need to do more. It can't just be in Fresno. It can't just be in Brooklyn. We've got to start doing this together.
Yes.
Well, yes, we do. It goes back to what the Panthers were doing. That 10-point plan, that was a real thing, and it was really happening. But the United States government was afraid, and they attacked it.
Well, they were afraid because they watched us build. The way that they brought our ancestors here, they didn't bring slaves to America. They brought engineers and chiefs and warriors. And they brought people that already had established an entire empire.
Exactly.
And they brought them over here and they broke them and called them slaves. But we're not living in slave times anymore. So why is this still happening? And why are we just sitting down and taking these beats on our back, like these lashes, every time they kill one of us, whether it's in uniform or not? We just go, ouch, for a few hours.
Real simple. And the truth of the matter is the same thing that happened during the time of slavery. House folks versus field folks. You work in the house, you're better than them. You're light-skinned, you're better than those dark ones.
But we don't have those issues anymore. But we don't have those issues anymore. That's my whole point. We're living in that mentality. We no longer have those issues. We're stuck. It's not them. They are happy that we're stuck. We're very much stuck in that very same mentality.
Exactly.
That's one of the things we have to work against, and we will. We're going to win this fight. It's just taken longer than any of us would have thought.
But sis, I think the fight really is internal. And until
it
we
is,
stop hating ourselves.
We have so much that we have to unlearn. I look at rap and gangster rap. Who made all the money off of those young black men and women who hated themselves enough to talk about selling drugs,
exactly.
Selling clothes?
Let me ask you a question. Who changed the lyrics of our music? Because it went from self-destruction and unity by Latifah to this disgusting stuff that they're listening to. I can't even quote nothing that they say because I don't understand it.
Because they weren't making
but
money off of that. Who changed that language? America changed that language so they can make money
I'm sorry. We don't have to own some stuff, brother. We write our music.
No. We don't write our music. It looks as though we write our music. We do not write our music. Corporate white America.
When's the last time that you got on social media and why these kids are literally sitting down and writing songs off the top of their head? We are writing our own lyrics. We are poisoning ourselves
The mindset is this is what's gonna sell. Go out and write this.
I understand the mindset, but I'm really trying to. We need to stop blaming everybody but ourselves. And I get it. We're in a space. It's 2023, and we're still blaming them, even though we have black lawyers, black doctors, black. We got everything black that they have, and we're still blaming. We're still living off that mentality.
I understand what you're saying, but it's not about living on that mentality. We're not blaming them. At some point, we have to stop with that, it's them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to get to the point to where we have to take the blame for what we are doing and work around it. We gotta clean it up.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. Right. Well, I hate to run, but I gotta get back to work. But we just man, the show is getting real. I was getting on the edge of my seat, and getting my chicken and rice ready, and listening to y'all. I need a cup of drink. But no, we thank all of y'all. I mean, we gotta figure it out, right? I mean, it's a lot that happened in 400 years of slavery in this country. You know, a lot. This U.S. Constitution, I don't understand that either. The Pledge of Allegiance, I don't understand. So there's a lot of stuff I don't understand right now at the age of 52. And I don't understand this killing with Nicholas and all the other killings that's been happening. But like I said, we got to peel the onion one layer at a time. You know, we got to, figure it out. That's just the bottom line. We got to figure it out, right? And don't leave the table. But, you know, as... my good friend, Brother Tony. Tell us what you always say, Brother Tony.
Hey, I'm going to say what I always say. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, teach your people. Take them to the range. Get them licensed. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. Protect your neighborhood and your family. I'm out.
All right, Sister Eileen, give us your last words.
I always say, y'all, stay black till we get back.
All right, all the way from Brooklyn, New York, give it to us.
I say let's love each other as we love ourselves.
There you go, you got it. Thank you.
Let's get together and